And I'm going to try to speak to that now. I don't believe that there can be an honest person in this room and on this university that cannot himself say that there is wide, rampant social separation between the races on this campus. We start with that as a fact, you know. I don't believe that there's anybody who can stand and argue otherwise. Now, I'm not saying here that you've got a roommate who you like and who you share sandwiches with once in a while, or who you and he buy, you know, a pizza and share a beer. We're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about when the mass, you know, social activities take place on the weekend at this campus, how many black students are in those parties and those dances and those other kinds of places that you attend. And the question is plain and simple. There are probably virtually none. Virtually none. The kinds of outlets that white students use on this campus, be they, you know, in the fraternity and sorority houses or whatever other kinds of facilities that they have, are not the kinds of facilities that black students have access to. And these are not accidental. Because again, the university reflects only in microcosm the whole question of, you know, of race in the country. Now the problem with that is that we've dealt a long time with a great deal of fantasy about how we would wish the situation would be. You know, we would like to say that the situation is not indeed that way. So black students are put in a trick such that when they approach the administration here last year and ask, we'd like to have a black sorority and a black fraternity, they say, no, we don't want to set a precedent of segregation. No, we don't want to start having any separation on the campus because we're moving for integration. Now, the person who said that earnestly. But the question was, the way in which they were looking at the situation and were defining it. So if black students say, well, look, you know, we're surrounded with a very real, a very concrete reality. That is that we have no outlet for things. You know, and we have to respond to that. But he's dealing with somebody who's trying to define what is real with a rather ideal kind of a set of notions. And I think this has led in large measure to the way some whites have reacted in their confusion, leading such guys to talk about, well, as I heard last evening, well, he knows a guy that likes Chinese food, so what is Dean Hines going to do about that? You know, he ought to get a separate dorm. Well, maybe they ought to put him in, you know, in a closet and give him a hot plate and, you know, let him do it. But I think that we all realize that this is the kind of the state of affairs here on the campus. What are the ramifications socially for everyone, black and white, on the campus? The state of relationship is that if you're in the room with your roommate and if you're a pretty good guy or gal, you have to say, when you're getting dressed to go out, well, what are you going to do this evening? You know, and you're hoping she's going to say, oh, I'm going out, you know, to Savoy and I'm going to party. That's what you like her to say. And she's, oh, I don't know. Then you sit around and you begin to wonder and you hem and haw, figuring out how can you slip out of the door without looking like a bad guy. And so there's unnecessary and unneeded tension and embarrassment and humiliation for both parties. You see. And the thing that we were speaking to this weekend, that this need not be. You see. And what often happens sometimes, you're put in a position, maybe your black roommate will say, well, you know, why do you go out and leave me all the time? And you get in the question, well, I don't know, you're going to have to start going. And your boyfriend comes to get you, and then maybe she starts defining what you're doing as not being the kind of thing that expresses devotion or friendship. And all kinds of things happen to break down what could perhaps be, you know, a fairly decent relationship. These are the kinds of things we're talking about. That's real, as opposed to the ideal. That is what's real. Or even if the roommate is not, you don't share, you don't have a roommate, but you have black neighbors up and down the hall, and they see you when the great party that's happening on the weekend and guys are running in and out, going into the shower, and the girls are running, and, you know, the perfume is flowing up and down the hall, and everyone's getting prepared to take off. And they have to sit there. Now the question is, see, no one addresses themselves to what is it that those black students do? Just what do they do? They can't even get up and walk out to a common place where they can find out where everybody else is at. Because, you know, they're strewn all over the place so that we can have integration. So they're way down there and they're way up here. And they can't even call and say, hey, what's happening? She says, I don't know, because so-and-so's down the other end. You know. So I'm saying that's real. And so these kids get out and they wander the street. And if it's in the wintertime, you can't wander too long out here. And so many of them have to retire to the room. Now, I know some counselors say, well, that's ideal, see, because they'll study. And we're trying to set a new pattern here. We want to curtail, you know, the country club atmosphere. And this whole business, we want black students. Black students stay in the room and they'll study, see. But yeah, it's very difficult trying to study. You can hear the currents running through electricity and the walls creaking and all the other kinds of things. It's very hard. You know, the noise, the silence gets very noisy. So these are the kinds of things that black people have to deal with on this campus. This is they exist in the underlife of the campus.